Yes, welcome to On The Mic. My name is Mike Goldman, the podcast that interviews people who work on the mic for a living. If you sing, if you rap, if you're an actor, if you're a life coach, or maybe even the world's best bingo announcer like Johnny Bongo that I interviewed a couple of weeks ago from Bongo's Bingo, we'll interview you. Please contact me if you think you know someone that should be on the podcast. Just send me an email, mike@onthemic.com. Today we have a legend by the name of Holly Brisley. She's a good mate of mine and she's one of the most loved faces in Australian TV. She hosted shows like The Looney Tunes Show, World's Craziest Home Videos, competed in Dancing with the Stars and almost won. She was on Home and Away and starred in films like Garage Days, The Crop, and played Heather Locklear in Dynasty. She's had a few years off to bring up her kids Levi and Willow, and she is back. She's got movies going on. She's producing. Can't wait to talk to her. But before I do, some of you may or may not know that one of my other jobs is to be the courtside guy at the Sydney Kings out at Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney. And the draw has been done, and we kick off on October 7th. We would love you to come out and see some of the games. Heaps of home weekend games in what is by far the best basketball stadium in the Southern Hemisphere, maybe the world, Kudos Bank Arena. Get your season tickets at a discount now at sydneykings.com. Andrew Gaze, coach, is back. Leonard Copeland, assistant coach. Tommy Garlop, Kevin Lish, Brad Newley, Jason Kadee, and Todd Blanchfield's coming across from Melbourne to play for Sydney. Should be interesting because we hate Melbourne, so it'll up the ante. He also plays for the Boomers as well, so he's a great addition to the team. And our old assistant coach, Dean Vickerman, has gone to be the head coach of Melbourne as well. So get your season tickets now, sydneykings.com. And if you like NBA, come and meet Matthew Dellavedova. Yes, the legend. Yes, Matthew Dellavedova is going to be at Amart Sports Chadstone in Victoria on Saturday, the 5th of August. From about 12 o'clock, this guy, get this, Dellavedova won the NBA title with the Cleveland Cavaliers, beating the Golden State Warriors, signed a four-year, $38,430,000 contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. $38 million, that's like, he's earning $1 million a month for 4 years, $250,000 a week. That is crazy. Anyway, I can't wait to meet him. So if you want to come down and meet him as well, Saturday the 5th of August at Amart Sports in Chadstone in Victoria. If you're enjoying this podcast and you want to help keep it going, we would love you to help us. Go to patreon.com/onthemic just to help us fund all the hosting, producing, editing, and making this podcast come to life. patreon.com/onthemic. And thank you to Rachel for helping edit this one with Holly Brisley. And here she is. Fire it up. Let's do it.
One, two, check.
On the mic with Mike Goldman.
Icicles, popsicles, and test 1, 2.
Now coming to you live from the Beach Road Hotel, it's international superstar celebrity Holly Brisley.
Hello. Oh, where's my applause? Can you put that in afterwards?
Hold the microphone. Oh, there's your applause. Listen to these people go wild. Hello, Beach Road.
Yeah, I can hear them.
They love you. They must have seen you on Home and Away. What was your character's name again?
Amanda Vale.
Oh, Amanda Vale.
The resident vixen.
She was. It was a few years. That was fun. You enjoy working on that show?
I did. I loved it. Just the pace. It was just great to have steady work.
You've done so many cool things in your career. Born in Adelaide. This is the stuff that I got off Wikipedia that I'm remembering off the top of my head. And moved to the Gold Coast and landed this awesome gig working on a show called Agro's Cartoon Connection, which I loved. I mean, I grew up with Boris's Cartoon Connection or something or whatever it was, where this weird character and Agro was on it. And then you came along and did Cartoon Connection, which like got nominated for Logies and won them. And your career just skyrocketed from there, getting to do so many cool things. I mean, you won Dancing with the Stars. Well, you won third place.
Yeah, won third place. Tom Williams kind of pipped me at the post.
He took his shirt off.
Yeah, that's right.
Why didn't you take your shirt off? I would have voted for you.
You know what? I could not. Wow. Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't think Channel 7 would love that. But yeah, I mean, he really did look seriously hot. Mm. There was no competition. As soon as he took that shirt off, I was like, damn, I'm done.
And the acting has been amazing for you. You've been in a couple of movies, feature films, Garage Days, I think I remember. And did you do some sort of Dynasty remake where you played Heather Locklear?
Yeah, so I did. I played Heather Locklear, which was great. And you know who else was in that? Rachel Taylor, who's gone on to be a huge success over in the States. She's doing some great stuff. And also Tim Campbell, who ended up playing my ex-husband on Home and Away.
Timmy, where's Timmy now?
He's over in the States as well. So, yeah.
Did you ever have a crack at the US? Did you live over there at any stage?
I went over for a month, and for me personally, I was quite young at the time, and I just found it to be a little bit daunting, and I was just a bit scared that I was a little fish in a massive shark pond.
Yeah.
So I never really went and did the whole big move, but I have my sights set on it at some point.
Yeah, looking into it. And at the moment, you've got a couple of feature films coming up because you've taken time out to have babies. You just mentioned before, what have you been doing this morning? Dropping the kids off at ballet and footy?
Saturday mornings, I swear. It's ballet at 8:15 in the morning. My son had footy at 9 a.m. It's just the weekend's sort of over before it even begins, and it's just full of kids' sports. But yeah, I have a son who's about to turn 8 and a daughter who will turn 5, both of them in July. Ooh. And so they keep me busy.
How do you like being a mum?
I love it. I mean, it's the most rewarding role you can ever do, really. But you know, it has its moments, like anything. You know, some mornings I just want to kill them, not literally, but you know, you're pulling your hair out going, oh, how many times can I tell you to grab your shoes or put your shoes on? So there's those moments where you're just like, get me out of here. But on the whole, you know, there's nothing that can ever compare with being a parent. You know, just the rewards are huge, and the love, and just, I guess, having that experience of being able to teach. There's a lot of learnings that happen for both sides. I'm learning from them all the time, and you know, you hope that you're teaching them.
Come on, Holly, cut the crap. You hate it. It sucks, doesn't it?
Oh, no.
My brother, he says, I love my kids, but seriously, don't do it, man. You know, just have your career, have your life. I mean, they're great. You can borrow them whenever you want. Really, you never go through that stage where you think, oh, my God, what have I done?
Oh, like I said, I definitely have those moments where you do literally want to pull your hair out. But no, on the whole, I think, you know, early days is probably more difficult than it is now. I think I'm getting to the easy part.
Yeah.
As soon as the youngest hits 4, I think you're really on the home run for a while. And
I'm thinking about doing it.
Oh, I think you should.
Yeah,
I really do.
My girlfriend has said we can have a baby in 2 years, so that means I got to get her pregnant in, 13 months?
Yeah.
Because that's when the baby will pop out in 2 years. And she goes, no, that's when I'll get pregnant in 2 years. Well, that's like 3 years. But so we're thinking about, but she just got her green card like 2 days ago in the green card lottery. So now that's turned everything on its head because it looks like we're going to do some stuff in the US.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was in that green card lottery for a while. I need to go back in it, don't I?
It's amazing. Like, you get your green card for 10 years. So you can go backwards and forwards to the States, but you have to go at least twice a year. Otherwise, they'll take it back off you. You can work there and do whatever, because I lived there for a couple of years, and my O-1 visa, which is for people of extraordinary ability. So you've got to give them all these letters from people saying, oh my God, Mike Goldman's amazing. I love him. And he did these TV shows, and you got to send them all these newspaper articles, and Americans go, oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, we'll let him in his O-1 visa, but you're only allowed to work in the industry that you worked in that country. So I could be acting, TV hosting, and I couldn't do anything else. Like, I couldn't go and work on radio to make some money on the side until the other stuff kicked in, or you know, go and work in a bar or whatever. So you're stuck in that world, and it drove me mental because the only money that I could make was the work that I was chasing. So to get a green card is amazing if you can score it.
That's really interesting that you say that, because I am trying to work out which way to go. But then I've heard that the green card can be a little bit of an issue, because if you have assets in Australia, it becomes a bit of a tax problem.
Like hoax.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So I don't want to end up in a situation where, you know, they think that they own assets in Australia or whatever it is. So I'm about to start that process of trying to figure out which way to go, because obviously I could do the O-1, I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping.
Of course you'll get the O-1.
I hope.
It's so much work. It's so much shit. It costs about $8,000 to get an O-1 visa, and you get it for 3 years, and it's like a mountain of paperwork that you got to go through and fill out. You got to pay the lawyer all that money, and then you got to have 1,000 meetings with them sorting it out, and then you got to get other people to write exactly what the lawyer wanted in the letter. So you're going back to all your old employers saying, do you mind writing a letter saying how good I was so I can get my O-1? I mean, eventually you get there, but the first lawyer that I hired to do it turned out he wasn't even a lawyer, and it got ripped off like $3,500. So you got to be really careful and make sure you use the right person. But how's what happened to Hoags? Like, when, you know, because we were talking about tax before, when Hoags, you know, he had the Australian tax department saying, oh, you've been living in the States for this long, you owe us half your money. And he's like, on a current affair and everything. Yeah, nah, man, you're just being greedy and got away with it. Like, you don't want to be in one of those situations. That's going to suck.
Only Paul Hogan could get away with that, right? I don't know. It's just the way he says it, I think.
Do you think like maybe the Prime Minister back then. I don't know who it was. Was it Kevin Rudd or something like that? Probably stepped in and go, oh, let him go. It's hoax. Yeah, he's done enough for the country.
Oh, he's pretty funny. You know, like he's just got such a good history here in Australia. You know, he started out as a comedian. I think he used to paint the Harbour Bridge though as well.
He did. He painted the Harbour Bridge.
So yeah, he has a great history with Australians. And hey, let's face it, Crocodile Dundee is one of the best movies that's ever come out of Australia, really.
Did you watch the hoax series on Channel 7?
No, I didn't. I haven't yet, but I really want to. Yeah. Did you watch it?
I was in it.
Oh, were you in it?
I played an American TV reporter interviewing Paul Hogan and Linda Kozlowski.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to watch it. But I think it's interesting, going back to the whole American thing and tax and prime ministers and presidents and stuff, I'm actually quite concerned about Trump.
Why are you concerned about Trump?
Well, now that I'm about to look into this whole thing, I just don't know what's going to happen with us Aussies. Yeah, hopefully us Australians are okay.
What are you worried about Trump for?
Well, whether he changes the...
immigration laws.
Yeah, 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 the rules.
Yeah, well, he's got... because Obama put these rules in place that he was trying to get through Congress where certain countries couldn't immigrate to America. Like he put the immigration... wanted to put an immigration ban in place. And then Trump came along and he's tried to do the same thing that Obama did. But everyone's up in arms saying, how could you do that? Because, you know, obviously everyone's out to get Trump, but you got nothing to worry about with him. I don't think so. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are bagging him and saying how horrible he is. But, I mean, he's not a very good messenger. He's not a great president in the way that he carries on like a bit of a wanker.
Yeah,
But he's doing a lot of things that are great for their country. I think there's a lot of people just get freaked out by the fact he was on a reality TV show and, you know, he owns all these buildings and, yeah, and he might just be a rich billionaire trying to make it out for himself. But I think that if you actually do your own research and you look at the policies that he's got, the things that he's doing in the country are pretty good.
Yeah, well, he's not afraid to take the hard road, that's for sure.
So. I mean, he says some fucked up shit like, hey, I'm just going to go and grab her on a pussy or whatever, you know, and all that kind of thing. But that just says how fucked up America is in the way that they will vote for someone like that over Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's right.
What a crazy time we live in.
It is. Whoever thought you'd see the day that's how a campaign would run and what eventuated was just out of this world.
And now they're like, oh, the Russians, you know, hacked in and there's this big investigation, you know, did Trump collude with the Russians? But the Russians have been trying to change elections in America and hack in for decades. I mean, it's not just Trump. Yeah. What they should be investigating, I reckon, is how Hillary Clinton ended up getting to run instead of Bernie Sanders. Because I reckon Hillary stole that election, yeah, you know, somehow. The little mini election they had so that Bernie or Hillary could run. Anyway.
Well, maybe if you went through her emails, you'd be able to discover that.
Yeah, well, she's got about a gazillion emails online. but apparently that's like, she's saying, oh, the Russians hacked in and they took all my emails. But, you know, if you didn't say or do anything wrong, then who cares?
Wasn't it a case of her not giving people access to her emails? I thought that they were trying to access her emails and she wouldn't let them.
No, what she did is she, rather than using the whitehouse.gov.au or, you know, like whatever their email address is you're supposed to use at work. Oh, that's the local one in Australia. But she used like a Gmail account or something like that like is really easy to hack into for the Russians, silly girl.
See, that'll learn ya.
Anyway, we're getting political, but it's not about politics, it's about Holly Brisley. So you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
I did. Well, you could say I tried. I attempted.
It's not easy, is it? I've got friends who have climbed up to base camp at Everest and they reckon Kilimanjaro is harder.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm going to run with that because I found it excruciatingly difficult. And in fact, I got evacuated off the mountain.
Do you remember what route you did?
We did the lower one, which took an extra 2 days. I think you can do it in 5 days or 7 days.
Yeah, I did the extra one as well.
Yeah, so we did the 7 day one. And
did it rain the whole time?
No, it wasn't too bad.
Mine fucking rained the whole time.
Oh, really? No, we were fine. No, the weather was great. I loved the different change of landscapes, though. Yeah. You know, you sort of start in a rainforest and then you get sort of halfway up and it becomes a little bit more...
It's incredible. It's like you're walking on the moon or something like that.
By the
so
end.
Barren.
It is. By the end, you are like, am I on Mars right now? It's just really, just the different landscape the whole way through was intriguing to me.
Were you with a big group?
I did it for the Humpty Dumpty Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
So this was very difficult because all of us, collectively, we raised $1 million from just this.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It was really good. But so personally, I raised $50,000, which is why I was saying it was difficult because, you know, the first sort of 30 grand, I found okay. Like it was pretty easy to kind of get your friends and your family and whoever else. Yeah. But that last 20,000 was... so difficult to raise.
What a great cause, and for doing it, you know, for a great charity, you know, you put your body through something that's so difficult. It's not easy climbing that mountain. I did it with a mate of mine, Sam Crane, and it was a last minute thing because I was drunk at his place the night before, and he was going to go, and he said he was pissed off that all his friends had pulled out on climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. He's going by himself, and I threw my credit card at him and said, "Buy me a ticket, I'll come." And next day, he goes, "You better go and get your camping gear because we're climbing Kilimanjaro." And I'm like, "Fucking what?" And I had to cancel another holiday, and I just ended up going and doing it. But it was one of the hardest, but one of the most satisfying things that I've ever done. So incredible.
It's really rewarding.
Yeah.
The whole experience for me was rewarding. Yeah. So going back to the fundraising, personally doing that for all of those children that benefit from all of Humpty Dumpty Foundation's machinery and hospitals. And I don't know if everyone knows about the foundation, but basically they supply hospitals around Australia with much needed machinery that the government just can't afford to supply them.
Well, and what kind of machinery?
Oh, things like humidity, I can never say that, humidity cribs.
Humidity cribs, yeah. This is for like premature babies.
For premature babies, yeah. Things that, not necessarily for premature babies, but for children in any circumstance that are dealing with life-threatening problems.
Oh, yeah,
well. So it's...
Yeah, my sister was born at like 26 weeks.
Oh, yeah,
which is way premature. And like some states in Australia, they say, no, take her off life support. It's not going to last. But she's fine. And she got through it because of NETS and a couple of other organisations. Maybe the Humpty Dumpty organisation as well helped her get through. But it's incredible what they can do in this day and age now to save those kids' lives.
Yeah, so from the walk that we did, they donated and created a gate. It's like a big thing out at the Westmead Hospital, I'm pretty sure. And it's for children that have multiple sclerosis. Yeah. And they, you know, find it difficult to walk and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. So, and this system and everything that they put in place reduces the operations that they need to have. So rather than having 20 operations by the time they're a certain age, they may only have to have 5 because they can really pinpoint where the problems are. And then they just have a much better way of studying the child's body and going, okay, this is what we need to do to get you in tip-top shape and for you to function in a much better way and have a far better life.
Yeah, $1 million, man. That's amazing. Congratulations. What was it like climbing the mountain for you? Did you get to the top?
So no, I made it to the night before summer.